today we have a very special guest, one of our own teachers and professors here at PCC, Pasadena City College, for all of you non-local folk. We are located in Pasadena, California, streaming live at LanceradioRadio.org. And something that drives me crazy, and I'm gonna get a little soapbox for just a second, because it will connect, I swear. Something that drives me absolutely batty is gossip. Gossip. And it doesn't matter if you're 8 or 88, people do it. And everybody knows it's not necessarily a good thing to do, but nobody stops. people keep gossiping, and it's toxic. It's poisonous. It's ugly. It creates all sorts of unnecessary drama and really just bad energy. And what happens if you find out that you are the subject of workplace gossip? What do you do? Do you address it with somebody somehow? Someone somehow? Do you retaliate? Probably not a wise idea. Do you confront? Do you take the high road and not even defend yourself? That seems awkward and not really empowering. So workplace waters can be treacherous, make no mistake, and it could take some expert navigating to reach the shores of sanity once again. Please, God. Rita Gonzalez is a professor here at PCC who teaches interpersonal communication, a very popular class, I might add. It fills up every single semester, and there's like 20 sections of it. So people want, at least they seem to want, to be able to communicate better. Thank you for joining us, Professor Gonzalez.
You're quite welcome.
Appreciate it. I know she has a crazy schedule, y'all.
Well, I still have a voice left, so let's
Yay.
Use it.
20 minutes. Hang in there, 20 minutes. No, okay. I remember my first resume, 16 years old, whatever, and it was all of 2 paragraphs probably.
I'm amazed you had a resume at that age.
Subway. Subway was my first job. And I am sure that one of the things I squeaked on there somehow was interpersonal communication. I'm so good at it. You know, at 16, right? And I'm sure I was miserable. So do you find that most people think they're really good at interpersonal communication because, all you have to do is talk to somebody, and then they find out later that they're really not?
Oh, absolutely. I think that interpersonal communication should be required for everyone. I think you shouldn't be allowed to have children, get a job, interact with people. Unfortunately, we think because we've been socialized from, within the womb that we're good communicators, but it's actually the single most reason why there is conflict. And so, yeah, absolutely. I think once people start taking an interpersonal class, and you're right, they're very popular classes, they realize how many areas that they need to work on.
Yeah. And so, because there are so many areas, and it is such a broad idea, and it covers so many different angles, where should a person start to work on? Is it basically just taking a class like with you?
I think so. If you take your basic interpersonal class, I'm not going to suggests that you're suddenly going to be this fabulous communicator, but it's a place to start. And it's kind of a life skill that you're going to spend the rest of your life working on. I share with my students, I know that being having an assertive conflict style and a winner-take-all kind of attitude, that's not very positive, but I have to admit I engage in that. So I tell them I have things that I still have to work on. So I think just thinking about it, finding the areas that we need to improve, and when you see yourself failing in situations due to poor communication, that's a sign. And what I always tell my students, if you get nothing out of my class, I want you to recognize that it's something that you can change. We're not stuck with a certain type of communication.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned communication or conflict styles,
mm-hmm.
which I'd never heard of before. And that's interesting to me. Can you just sort of explain a little bit about that?
Well, I'll kind of boil it down to think of a progression. Some people are extremely assertive and some people are extremely passive. Some people are very cooperative and some people are on the other spectrum. And I have to admit that I'm very guilty. I come from a family of yellers, which I bet a lot of the listeners do as well.
Sure.
I mean, it was who could out-yell the other person.
Gosh.
So if you take that style of communication into the workplace or or just being on a campus and having to do group projects, it's not going to end well. And so, you want to think about, are you the person who's passive-aggressive, kind of, crosses their arms and, no, there's nothing wrong, but then you just kind of ignore them and make them feel uncomfortable. I'm not that kind of person. I'm the person who wants to go for it and let's get it out
the
there. Right, exactly. And I'm kind of mean about it. And so, I think we all need to assess. Yeah, it's true. It's one of my worst failings. But, if people are honest with themselves, obviously, ideally, we'd like to all be somewhere in the middle of between assertive and passive and more cooperative than uncooperative. I mean, that's what we should all aim for, a win-win situation. But how many people can say they're really that way?
Well, I just find it really interesting and impressive that here you are, a professor of interpersonal communication in psychology.
It's actually in speech communication.
Speech.
It's a very new discipline. It came out in maybe the 1970s. You can just imagine a couple hippie professors saying, we need a whole discipline around interpersonal communication. And that's when it developed. And most countries don't have the discipline of interpersonal communication. We had a faculty member who came to the U.S. from Switzerland because she couldn't study it anywhere else.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm sure there are more countries doing this. I know somebody from Mexico City who had studied interpersonal communication, but it is uniquely American.
That's surprising to me. I don't know why, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we are kind of a little more open. We tend to be very individualistic. And so We are always thinking about the way we communicate. If you're in a culture where cooperation is the most important thing, don't rock the boat, you're not going to be as concerned about individual way one person communicates with another.
Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese have a saying, the nail that sticks out must be pounded down. And, that's the attitude in most of Asia. You don't stick out. You want to make people feel comfortable. I think it's interesting that my Chinese students, they're used to saying their last name first and then first name.
Oh.
Yeah, because the family name is more important than the individual name.
Oh, that is interesting.
So what happens when they come here and they're in a situation where they have a roommate who's not Chinese and they're not getting along with them? Well, their culture teaches them that it's not appropriate to approach them and, air their concerns.
Okay.
And the American roommate might be saying, what's wrong with her? She's not opening up, but I can see there's something wrong. And I've had students say in my class that it gave them the courage to open up. But it's really hard because I tell them we're studying Western interpersonal communication. If you come from another part of the world, this may be very alien for you.
That's great, though.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I guess the multicultural aspect is a whole other beast of
gender, social roles, your economic status. All of these things are going to influence.
But what I was going to say is I think it's really interesting that even you, with all your education and practice and awareness, still have your challenges.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you do, then the rest of us have a tall mountain to climb. So let's just get started.
Okay.
So assuming we're in a workplace, mm-hmm. let's just sort of create the picture. We're in a workplace, and we're talking about colleague to colleague at this
mm-hmm.
moment. What are some of the most common mistakes that people make dealing with each other in the workplace as colleagues?
Once again, poor communication. You're aiming for clear, concise, accurate communication. If you do not address conflict in a clear and concise way, you're going to create a really bad climate within the organization. So just be clear. If you're not sure, if you understand, I have daily proof of this. I'll think I'm so clear to my students, give them instructions, and they go off and do it wrong. And then I have to own that. Something I did didn't get, I might have thought that I was clear. So yeah, good communication is so important.
And owning it.
Owning it.
That's great.
Yeah, a little humility goes a long way. I'd let my students know I'm not perfect, and none of us are. When you work in an organization, you just have to realize that we all make mistakes.
Yeah. Now, to go back to my intro idea about office gossip,
mm-hmm.
it's rampant.
Oh, yes.
And I don't think it's going to go anywhere, sadly.
No.
So what happens if you feel like people are – and I've had this experience personally, and it's like – it's crazy when you feel like people are sort of ganging up on you a little bit and you don't know what to do and you haven't done anything that you know of. How do you handle that?
Well, it's hurtful.
It is.
And if it's harming your ability to do your work, then that becomes a problem. And if we have problems on this campus like anywhere else where we have colleagues who call each other names, who treat each other really poorly, to speak poorly of them behind their back. And sometimes I would think you would need to go to the next level. If approaching them does not work, then you may need to take it to the next level.
Which would be the boss?
In our case, it would probably be our dean. Eventually, mm-hmm. we are going to have department chairs. But I think the really important thing is to not do it when you're feeling really emotional.
Okay.
Because no one wants to see you have a meltdown.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm very emotional.
Yeah.
And I've been guilty of
yellers.
This.
Yeah.
So don't, wait till you've calmed down. Think about what you're going to say and have a plan in mind as to, okay, if you are asking something of your boss to help resolve a situation, have an end game. Think about where you would like that to go. That's going to help your boss tremendously because they are on the receiving end of so many problems.
Yeah. And, hopefully the boss is receptive and mm-hmm. you're speaking in a calm, rational mm-hmm. way and sounding,
trying
credible.
To use I language rather than you language.
I language?
Well, meaning, I've felt hurt by such and such rather than that they are terrible people and, they don't deserve to be here. And it's really hard not to go on the attack.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing it back to yourself the way you feel, describing behavior and taking it back to how it's affecting you and your ability to work.
Okay. And so, okay, so then what happens if your boss is like, oh, get over it, work it out, you guys are adults, then what?
It's a real problem. In fact, an article just came out recently about bullying in higher education, and it's so bad that tenured faculty apparently are known to bully non-tenured faculty. And when the non-tenured faculty have gone to their dean or department chair, they've been told, if you pursue this, you'll be perceived as being the problem. So yeah, I hate to say it, you have to pick your battles, calculate your risks, because it may not work out the way you hoped it will be. And
okay.
then maybe that tells you it might not be the place for you to work in.
Pick your battles,
yes.
Calculate your risks.
Right.
And I think it also does come right back to the communicating mm-hmm. in a calm, rational
mm-hmm.
way, maybe going to the source. Don't go anywhere, anybody. We are talking with Rita Gonzalez. She is talking with us about conflict in the workplace. It's tricky. Don't go anywhere. Happy Thursday. You're listening to Sweet Life on LanceradioRadio.org, streaming live, mind you, from the beautiful campus of Pasadena City College. That's on the West Coast, folks. That's where I am. I don't know where you are, but I'm on the West Coast where it's beautiful. And today we are talking to Rita Gonzalez. She is a professor here at Pasadena City College, and we are talking about conflict in the workplace. And I don't care if you walk around smiling at everybody and keeping your head down and doing your work. It's going to happen. If you're living life with people, amongst people, and not in the jungle someplace, you're going to have conflict among people. So you can't pretend it's not going to happen, and you can't shy away from it. Am I right?
That is very correct. It's unavoidable, and not doing anything about it will lead to a poor work environment.
Yeah, okay, so we have to face it.
We do. We have to face it, but you want to plan how you're going to face it, not just jump in, having a meltdown, getting all emotional. So plan what you're going to say. Be professional. That's really key. People are going to take you a lot more seriously if you have thought about what you're going to say, you say it in a rational manner, and you own up to any of your part of it. If you're part of the problem, then admit it, and you're going to people will respect you for that.
Yeah, I think that's true, too. Just sort of being honest about your part in it, and then it sort of opens up the lines, I think, taking that defensiveness away. But now we are assuming that we are able to somehow manage our emotions,
mm-hmm.
which, it's hard. What do you do?
It's so true.
Ms. Yeller.
It's true. I come from Latin culture. I guess I just try to visualize how I'd like to see it resolved. And I try to – I don't know if this makes sense to people, but I try to remember all the difficult times in my life, and I overcame those. And so this is just one blip that I'm going to get through. I know it seems like, oh, the whole world at the time, but it – you know, the more we challenge ourselves and we achieve things, it gives us confidence that we will get through this difficult time working maybe with a difficult person, being gossiped about, sabotage. That's even worse.
That's what gossip kind of feels like sometimes.
Right. I mean, you know, it might just be somewhat harmless gossip, but when it gets into the realm of people are actually trying to sabotage you, ruin your reputation, this is serious.
And so how do you not take it personally and get upset?
I find it impossible not to. But, you know, I was just talking with one of my colleagues today who is a challenging position, and she's tried to surround herself with positive people who value what she does. So when there are those people who are trying to tear her down, she just keeps her eyes on, you know, where she's planning to go. And the people who know her and work with her just know how absolutely wonderful she is. So that's all you can do.
Yeah, the support system.
Right. Having that support system.
Reminding you that you are a good person and you are an excellent worker. Darn it.
But I mean, it can be hard. You know, if you work in a kind of poisonous environment where people will tear you down, they tend to go after the people who stick their neck out. The ones who take the risks and put themselves into positions. And, it can create a climate where no one wants to take responsibility. And you don't want things going to that level. And I think part of it is poor leadership. When you have good supervisors and leaders who are kind of looking around and seeing how people treat each other and trying to jump in and help resolve situations. But a lot of bosses just want to look the other way, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. Oh, if I don't see it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. A silly little petty problem that's not.
Right.
Yeah. Now, what happens if the conflict is with your boss? You know, what happens if, say, you got a less than amazing performance review, which of course you disagree with because you know you've done a good job or you feel like you have. How do you take on the boss?
You know, I had a crazy boss, so I know how this is. Maybe approaching it on a task-specific way might be the way to go. This boss had a lot of issues, but one of the things was she was very unclear in the way she'd give instructions for assignments. And so I finally sat her down and I said, it would really help me if you would write out your assignments, because then I do it wrong. I'm too afraid to approach you to tell you I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. And then, you know, obviously you're angry after the fact. So, you know, sometimes just that's less threatening to them than saying you're just really a psychotic person who's impossible to work with. I used to watch her take jars of candy and start shoving them in her mouth. It was really frightening to watch. Yeah. I wasn't going to change that, but I could at least make it possible to do my job in certain situations.
Right. Well, I love the tip of putting it in writing. It gives us it makes somebody think about what they're saying and probably being more concise because they don't want to write all day. And you have it in writing.
Exactly.
And
they can't change their mind and say, no, what I really meant
that's not
was
what I
this.
Said.
Right.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. And so when might a person – when do you take it to the HR? When – what kind of moment and if you do, if you've exhausted, you know, confronting the person, your colleague, and said, what can I do to help you here? What's happening here? And you've talked to the boss and nothing's happening and he's like, okay, this isn't working. I need to go to somebody else. You go to HR. Does that make you like a tattletale? Does that, you know?
You know, obviously each organization is different. I worked in the private sector for 10 years, so it's so different from the public sector. I think when it's going into the realm of harassment where they're literally creating a work environment that's so awful that you're having possibly physical issues, like you're getting sick, you have emotional issues. I think when it gets to that point, yes, I think that's when you really need to go to the HR person and say they're creating a hostile work environment and this needs to be addressed. And hopefully any good HR director is going to say, ooh, this is a lawsuit waiting to happen. I need to knock some heads together and get people working on this.
Yeah.
But like I said, you got to calculate the risks. So I probably wouldn't do that until it had reached a point where it's either that or you ruin your health or mental well-being.
Yeah, if you're losing sleep
right.
or if your heart starts, you know, palpitating.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, this is the thing. People spend 40-plus hours right. in these environments. And, you know, I hate sounding, you know, naive, but, like, can't we all just get along, you know? What's the deal?
I know. I love what I do. And so it's really hard for me to watch colleagues who are just mean.
Yeah.
You know, I say, what do you have to be mean? We have a great college. We have a great place to work. Try doing a real job like being a coal miner or something like
right?
that. What do we have to complain about? Yeah. But there's just people who I just think they don't like themselves. You know, they're just
insecurity,
right?
Threat.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I bet you, and this is sort of what my situation came from, back in 2008 when everything was crashing and people were just scared for their jobs.
Right.
They were threatened. They were afraid of, you know, losing their income.
Right.
And out of that fear, they looked around and lashed out. And I think that's probably pretty common in companies going through big changes, lots of, you know, downsizing or turning over. And you have to sort of be prepared for these kinds of political maneuverings. And it can be tricky.
Really tricky.
So we have to wrap up pretty soon. Now, say something happened and you lost your temper and you did not step away and take 10 minutes to breathe. And
you had the meltdown.
You had the meltdown and you said something and you lashed out because we're human.
Right.
And how do you recover? What do you do?
You know, it happens all the time. I've done it myself. And you just have a sense of humor goes a long way. Being a little humility, you just go back in when you're feeling calmer and say, wow, that was really embarrassing. And you just own it. And then everybody laughs about it later and you make fun of yourself and they make fun of you. And, you know, it's fine. I think don't be afraid to go back and say, I know I behaved in a way that was really unprofessional. Can we move on? You know, I'm sorry to put you through that. I just was feeling very emotional at the moment. If you're dealing with a human being, they should understand.
Yeah. Well, that's great advice for everybody. A, communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the lines open. Take a breath. Walk away for a few minutes. Sleep on it. Give it some time. Have a plan. Have an end game and own it. I think those are some pretty nice tips for the day.
So.
Yeah, thank you so much. We've been talking with Professor Gonzalez. Rita Gonzalez teaches interpersonal communication here at Pasadena City College.